N2NOV, K2GLW, Gordon in Manhattan, no traffic, out walking the dog, and I can tell you the temperature has dropped about 20 degrees in the past couple of hours.
That'd be fine. Your signal is much better. NTUMC, Frank, Staten Island. I don't check in too much, but when you're a five-minute walk from a six-alarm park fire, it makes it easy. Those of you in the New York City area may have heard about the six-alarm fire in Great Hills Gateway National Park. And when a wife has been living in the same spot since 1969, she knows the back ways in. And when you bring your scanner and you go to FDNY, TAC 1, TAC 2, Command 2, and HT5 were extremely busy. It turned out there were three different sections of the park on fire. Although if you do get a little bit too close, the fire personnel get a little unnerved when they're on their radio and they hear an echo. So I guess Charlie had the right ones on the list. Quite interesting, even the wife says, all the years she's been here, that's the worst one she's seen. Turns out, I did get some very rough video and some still shots of the fire operations. I'm going to throw them on a disc and hand them over to Charlie and see what he can do. May have one or two good ones to put up on the website. FDNY using a water bucket from Great Hills Harbor. And she didn't know how close we were, but I didn't feel any water droplets. She claimed to have felt a few as the thing kept filling the bucket and dumping it. I don't think we were quite that close. But we'll, I have to go through the pictures in more detail and figure out what was what. Anything to add, Charlie, on a technical side? Like I said, I cheated. Everything was on the website. Nothing off of TACU, the interagency stuff, though. I did check that per your recommendation and really didn't hear anything on that end. Okay, Frank. Yeah, this is what I keep saying over and over again, is that you got to keep the TAC channels at hand. You know, let your radio scan through them. Most of the time, nothing will ever break squelch. 99% of the time, it'll be dead as a doornail. But then once in a while, something within a few miles of you starts happening. All of a sudden, these simplex TAC channels will start coming alive, and you'll hear different things are going on. It's easy to fall into the trap of just listening to the repeater frequencies for dispatch and things like that, but that isn't where all the action is. In fact, I've heard some interesting things as far as surveillances are concerned, all sorts of different agencies and parts of agencies that only happen on the TAC channel. You know, the whole world isn't like television, where you get this nice clean repeater coming through the radio of, you know, the cop or detective or fireman or whatever. Sometimes you hear a lot more on the simplex channel, so always keep that at hand. With the development of the city of New York is constantly, quote-unquote, updating their system. We saw this in the 90s with the NYPD rolling out new frequencies and setting up multiple receivers in adjoining regions so that they can make sure that a 2-watt handheld can be used and no longer requires the necessity of a mobile rig. The fire department is going through the same thing right now, and EMS. And one of the things that they're focusing on is to be able to have a 2-watt handheld inside a building, outside a building, anywhere, whether it be a high-rise type environment like Midtown Manhattan or a tree-infested forest like Staten Island, where you need a passport to cross the bridge, and I can say that because I live here. They have to make sure that it works. And as we've seen in the past, when they tried to get their 800 meg trunking system working, leaves on trees look a lot bigger to the wavelength of the signal that UHF does, or VHF. So now they're just concentrating everything on the UHF system, everything in the 480s. So that's what they're doing now. They're fine-tuning things. We had brought to our attention by N2BQQ a few weeks ago about this issue of peel tones and pass bands, and sure enough, within 2 weeks after that, all the peel tones were changed on the new fire department and EMS channels that will be rolling out that are currently simulcasting what's going on their old channels. So wait for the total switchover. Don't know when it's going to happen, but at least it's simulcasting. So what I've been doing is just listening to the new frequencies. And this way, if I hear anything all of a sudden going on of testing or the signal dropped out, then I know that they're working on it. Also, and let me recycle. If you programmed the Hewitt UHF system, keep an ear on the Hewitt Tech talk groups. Now, there's a few of them out there, but most of the chatter that revolves around the fine-tuning of the system is going to be one of the APCO P25 talk groups. 40688 has had a lot of activity with techs out in the field testing different things, including today they were testing signal quality levels for a remote receive site of the trunk system, not trunk system, of the conventional channels up in the Bronx. So they're testing tones. Low frequency tones, high frequency tones, and all that. They want to make sure that the audio passes through cleanly, regardless what the audio frequency is. This way, it'll be able to encompass PL tones as well as the voice. So they're trying. They're working on it. Sometimes it's funny listening to them argue with each other over the air, but other than that, you know, we just have to wait. And eventually it will happen. So keep on top of all these changes. Keep on top of the TAC channels and the talk groups. And eventually, you're going to see changes going on, and you'll be able to follow what's happening. Another thing related to this, there is a rumor that some of the older, if not all of them, the older EMS frequencies down in the 477 range will be reallocated to the Hewitt trunk system. Don't know if that's true yet or not, but something you may want to keep in the back of your head. Okay, anything else, Frank? It's you, I'm seeing you. It's 108.
Not really, Charlie. I just wanted to give you an overall viewpoint. Like I said, it's just interesting that it seems to have for a while that we were a little closer than even I felt kind of comfortable with. And the wife was saying, oh, no, we can get out of the park 60 yards that way, no problem. But like I said, watching NYPD pick up water from Great Hills Harbor and dumping it 200, you know, within 150 yards of where you're standing. Like I said, I didn't get to the pictures yet, but I'll throw them on a disc, and if you find one or two that may be acceptable for a website, of course, feel free. Other than that, it was an interesting evening. It helps to be within a 6-minute walk of where it's all happening. With that, NTUMC, we're going to go back to that.
Okay, very good, Frank. Thanks for bringing the traffic of today's activity. Certainly shows how things can get a little busy out there. The only email that I see in the account right now is one that Justin has sent. He's setting up a page on his website, bourbonscanner.com, for the new Bergen County trunk system. So far, there's nothing going on there except talk group number one has the simulcast of the county police dispatch channel. Bergen County trunk system, it doesn't say here if it's P25 or not, and doesn't say what type of system. I believe it's supposed to be Motorola. frequencies that make up the trunk system. So if you live in New Jersey or you want to listen to the Bergen County system as it starts to develop and comes online, go to bergenscanner.com and there should be a link there for the Bergen County trunk system. If not, after .com, type in /BCTrunked, BCTRUNKED .shtml. And as soon as more talk groups become active, Justin will be putting them into the list there. Little by little, everybody's going to a trunk system. It's just more efficient use of frequencies if you have a lot of users on it, like the air at the same time. Okay, I've got no other email, so let's see if there's any late check-ins or any additional traffic. This is N20B with the shortwave and scanner listeners set.
Part 90 certified, I don't know what the legal terminology is today. So
if it's one model radio versus another and they've both been accepted for Part 90 use, then it doesn't matter. But there is a power level situation that has to be adhered to, otherwise somebody would be breaking the law.
Okay, no problem, because I noticed a lot of the yeshivas in my area, they've been using them, and you do need a business license for them, which goes for like $400 for a 10-year term. When I called the FCC, I could be off on the figure, but that's how much like a business license they charge you, like $400 for a 10-year term for the business radios. But there's a lot of places around here that are not, don't have licenses. It's not coming up in the FCC database, cases 2 and 3.
Well, first off, the license is for use of a particular frequency, okay, not the radio. So somebody gets a license to use a particular frequency, and they have to use a radio that matches the acceptance of the FCC rule that governs that frequency. Okay? And as long as they're doing that, that's fine. You know, an amateur radio, we can use whatever we want as long as it meets certain spectral purity. So we can use anything from commercial radios to homemade, you know, kits. You know, it doesn't matter. But when it comes to the business, when it comes to things like governments and police departments and boats and ships and things like that, they have to meet whatever the rules are for that part of the FCC rule. And as long as they do, as long as they're using the right equipment for it, and they've got the license necessary for that particular frequency that they want to use, then they're okay. Once they overstep that bound, then they are running afoul of the law. Now, not everybody who's using a particular frequency needs to have a license of their own if they are covered by a larger entity. If they're part of, let's say, common carrier, or they're running under the license of a larger parent group or an association that they're part of, or in the case of trunking radio systems, that they are covered under the licensee holder of the trunking frequency, the trunking system that they are part of. Okay, so there are plenty of taxi cab systems out there, car services, like out here on Staten Island, that used to have their own licenses and their own frequencies on VHF or UHF that no longer have that license because they're now part of a trunking LTR system up at 461 megs or something. So that could be another reason why you do not see them in the FCC database.
Okay, I'm also trying to figure out what frequency the New York Aquarium uses, and they're actually using 16-channel Kenwood. And I think those are the same ones that the Motorola CLS-1410 runs off of. So it could be the business intolerant frequencies, but if so, it could be licensed to the main office, like the Bronx Zoo or not, you know?
And what I'll be. Well, first off, Ralph, get off of the idea of a particular brand or model of radio. It doesn't matter. Okay? You can call it a Joopy Joopy 10,000. It doesn't matter as long as it handles the frequency and the type accepted. Okay? So whatever radio that they're using or whatever frequencies they're using, as long as they're meeting all of the rules in the FCC Part 90, then they're okay. Now, if you want to know what frequencies they might be on, best bet is to bring with you a frequency counter or a scanner that has a close call type of feature so that when they do key up, you'll get the frequency readout. And then you can do your research to see, do they have a license on that frequency or could they be part of a larger organization? Or that frequency might be an itinerant channel, which means, you know, they can use under 2 watts and it's okay. So the signal's not going to go very far and it's simplex in nature. But stop worrying about the make and model of the radios. You know, everybody keeps doing that. It doesn't matter what the radio it is. It doesn't matter what the model is. Are they following the FCC rules? That's what counts more than anything else.
Okay, I think they have like a Roger beep. When they unkey, you can hear it come out of the radio. So, but okay, sound good. So it could either be commercial one or it could be anything, basically, Dan. I just got to get the close call. Because the frequency counter doesn't really work unless you're like 6 feet away from them. The close call, I think, will be probably my best bet, though. Thanks for the info. KC2NG.
Okay, so give that a shot, and it'll probably solve a lot of the questions that you have as far as frequencies and usage. Frequency counters, it totally depends on how much power they're transmitting and how far away you are and how sensitive the frequency counter is. But with all these different scanners today having a close call capability in it, probably the best way to do it, because a lot of them also tell you what the PL zone is. Alright,
let's see.
N1MLZ, you had a question. Go ahead, Bob.
N1LB. Yeah, Radio Charger. Good evening to you and everyone else on the net here. Question is, I was wondering if there was a VIP or something in New York today. I was hearing a lot of activity on one of the interop frequencies, 167.7875. Conversations there regarding to sound like a VIP type situation. Just wondering if there's something going on in the city today?
No, I haven't heard specifically of anything going on in the city today, but Saturday is 9/11, so they might be people coming into town or agencies getting ready for the things revolving around that.
Okay, yeah, they were, special agents and chasing around a suspect in a warehouse, et cetera, et cetera. So, it's I was kind of wondering why they were on, first of all, on the interop frequency, and, wondering what was going on in the city. But, okay, very good, Charlie. Just curious if, maybe the president or somebody was in town.
In the warehouse is something totally different. But the idea of the interop channel and the interop repeater is for all the different agencies to be able to coordinate with each other. So, maybe something is specifically happening. But I haven't heard anything in particular. But, our government tends to be very secretive about things.
Yeah, very good, Charlie. Yeah, there's another thing, that fire in Staten Island there, my buddy sent me a link, and it actually shows live video of it. I still have it here. I think I got rid of it already. Kind of cool, though. I don't know if you know about that site.
Video from who? SILive.com?
Actually, the site is emergencystream.com. www.emergencystream.com. And it's all cool. Oh, they had the tornado on there, a live streaming video. I don't know who puts it on here, but different events happening. Yeah, I wonder who sent it in, huh? Yeah, I'm curious on that too, but Where did you find that little information?
To the right side of the picture.
Oh, that's interesting. I have a live chat on the right side. It's a live chat column.
Oh, I'm on the main page. You may drill down a little bit.
Okay, that's what happened. Yeah, my buddy sent me the, here we are. I went to home, and my buddy sent me the link there, and it gets you to the, there's like a live chat going on too at the same time. Okay.
All right, well, this is a good one. I'll put a link to this on my website. Looks like it could be useful.
Yeah, should be good around, New Year's Eve too, even.
Very good. Thanks, Bob. Anything else?
No, that's about it, Charlie. Getting ready to go on my road trip here, so I probably won't be on the net here next week, but we'll see what happens. Maybe I get on RLP.
He's joined you.
Alright, thank you, Dad.
Charlie, I have another question. The ones I mentioned, the Motorola CLS-1410, they have four channels. There's also a Motorola 1100, which I think is one channel. But they have 56 frequencies available, and they're four channels at a time. Can those, you said you got to be licensed under, like, an entity. Can a Blackwatch use them, like, even though they're a watt output and they're really, really tiny and the battery life is pretty good on them, like 2 days without charging? Can a volunteer group use them too, or no, or only business?
My suggestion is go to the FCC.gov website, drill down and get Part 90 rules, okay? That's the business radio frequencies. And then look for the list that shows itinerant low power frequencies. Okay, read the paragraph on the licensing requirements, and then if it meets what you're trying to do, then go ahead and use it. Okay, so what you're looking for is low power, itinerant, and no license necessary.
Okay, thanks, Charlie. Casey joined you.
Hey, that's the rock.
Okay. Everything's right there in the rules. You just gotta tear it apart and look at that frequency list. Alright, anybody else before we wrap it up tonight?
C2LMH.
Alright, go ahead, Jim.
Charlie, first, I do want to give a shout-out to a friend of mine and a gentleman, K2GLW Gordon. He and I have worked together on some Red Cross drills. Also, I want to agree with you very much that the Simplex TAC channels, particularly with the police department, can bear a lot of fruit if you're in particular areas at particular times. When I'm in Midtown, where I have some business, my union office and things, when I'm walking across Midtown, I'll often put those on scan in the earbuds, and when you're in the Times Square area particularly, you'll hear anti-crime, or you'll hear the whatever the squads are that collect the the vendors who are illegal and things. You have to be very close to them to hear them, and sometimes you'll hear hit and miss, but it can bear fruit, so I want to agree with that. It's just good to check in, and I'll hand it back to you, N2NOV, KP2LMH.
Okay, yeah, that's a good thing, especially wear the earbuds. This way you don't draw attention to yourself. But even though technically, and I've asked this question of a couple people in the department, any operation on NYPD TAC channel can happen on any one of the channels, okay? But sometimes you'll hear the same type of operation or the same group like to favor certain channels. So if you can, Jim, just drop me an email if you've ever made a notation of which activity you heard on which of the TAC channels.
I will do that if it ever comes up, and I do remember seeing, probably on your website, that the particular zones are supposed to have particular channels, but you're probably right that they can turn up anywhere. Back to you.
Okay. Yeah, I've noticed a couple of groups around me. You know, they always like to use a particular, you know, two or three of the TAC channels, and I always find them on there. So, I'm just going to see if there's any type of rhyme or reason. Just a little intellectual puzzle game for myself. All right. If there's nothing else, we'll say 7-3 to everybody, and we'll catch you next week. I know there'll be some activities of an official nature regarding the 9th anniversary of 9/11 this Saturday. Some will be down there, some will be at the different memorial sites scattered throughout the city, and you know, hopefully you'll find some time to be part of some of those observances, especially if you were one of the people involved with the 9/11 post-event activities with the rest of us in the amateur community. So, 7-3, and we'll catch you next week. And so on, I'll be clear.